Hi there, Saints fans. Jen Hale here from the NFL on Fox. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
We are live. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over. I'm Gunn, joined as always by the mysterious Mr. T. Some would call him an oracle. I heard a good joke last week. They said, T's so smart, you don't even have to watch the games on Sunday.
I was going to say the same about you.
Yeah? Well, we do have to recap last week because I'm pretty proud of what happened here. But welcome, man. How you doing? Welcome to week eight.
Week eight. Going. Everything's going well.
Ready for Halloween?
Yeah, it's our first year doing it as homeowners, I guess.
That's right. Y'all have established. Y'all have enlarged the team. The T family real estate holdings to in a suburban neighborhood. Y'all gonna put out candy or sandwiches or nickels? What you gonna do?
No, we're not gonna be scumbags. We'll put out candy. My wife didn't really get great stuff though. It's a lot of like Twix, Three Musketeers. I'm more fond of gummy stuff like Twizzlers, that kind of stuff than chocolate. But
yeah.
It's fine. The kids will hopefully like it. I feel like a douche because everyone on the street has these elaborate decoration setups for Halloween, and I just have a few pumpkins and misshapen gourds out on the steps. You know, basic fall stuff going on here. So I don't know. I have no idea what to expect. I have a costume for myself for the door to really play the part.
What are you going to be?
All right. So this is not easy for me to admit, but
oh shit,
I'm dressing up as Tom Brady. No, I'm not. Not. So we got the dog a little kangaroo costume.
Uh-huh.
I got an adult onesie kangaroo costume with a pouch, so the dog will go in my pouch as my little kangaroo to give out candy. So that should get some oohs and ahs of the good.
Are you gonna wear your dog in the pouch while in costume?
At the door, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna keep him.
Oh, Jesus.
It seems like animal abuse. I posted a picture of him on Twitter. He also has a stuffed kangaroo toy in his belly, so we're doing kangarooception.
You're a really fascinating guy. We should talk more. last week, I mean, Jesus. I love it, dude. I love
Pretty
it. That's the greatest Halloween costume of all time. It's only natural you have it.
Yeah, I figure it's easy. Target onesie, it's pretty cheap. Not a big elaborate costume guy. I like doing stuff with stuff I already have, if possible. But yeah. We didn't get invited to any parties this year. Maybe that's, you know, part of turning 30. I guess you're just friends go away and stuff. So that's fine, too. Not a big fan of the Halloween parties. Those seem a little overdone.
Yeah.
But here we go. Last week was pretty good, I thought.
Last week was good. I went sick. Just, you know, you and I were on the opposite sides of a lot of things last week. For example, Atlanta and the Bengals. I liked Atlanta 6.5. You liked the Bengals. You were right there. The Giants and the Jags. We were opposite sides on that one. My New York Giants did what they do, which is win. That day ball winning ethic.
Yeah.
We were on opposite sides of Washington football team. We were on opposite sides of the Browns and the Ravens.
You had the Browns. I had actually teased the Ravens down from 6.5 to a half point.
Uh-huh.
Alongside the under in Tampa and Carolina teased up to like 46. The only one that didn't hit was I teased the Lions up to plus 12.5, which seemed totally arbitrary now that I think about it. And that did not hit. While the Bengals minus half, Ravens minus half under Carolina, Tampa Bay hit. So one leg shy of a teaser. But Green Bay sucks, it looks.
Green Bay does suck. We both hit on Tennessee. We both missed on Houston. We were on opposite sides of the Jets and the Broncos, and my New York Jets really, really showed that Jet spirit and won again, covered again. And Pittsburgh, I hit Pittsburgh plus +7. You had the under 45 in that game. We both we won it each way. So it's a good week.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about this week. I didn't at first, but after some initial research, I feel like I'm seeing the board pretty well.
Well, good, because I want to talk to you about that, because one of the things that I wanted to, like, a topic to cover today for the listeners, and maybe give them a little what do you call it, education, promo farming, right? Let's talk about promo farming. Now, obviously, we're here. There's only one promo code that you need to know, and that's promo code BOOT, like BOOT, right, with DraftKings. Use promo code BOOT, bet $5, they're going to send you a pig and $200.
The value is so good you want to puke. That's why the promo code is BOOT.
It's good value. It's very good value. So the other thing about that, I know, for example, I mean, look, it's fair to say Mr. Toutfire got signed up with an account, right?
You know, she hasn't yet. I've been trying. She doesn't have much interest. Okay. She's big into TikToks nowadays. We could bet on TikTok somehow she'd be involved.
I got a feeling somebody's going to figure that out. and that's going to be the next big thing.
Better. That's the new one that isn't real money yet, but it's taking social media by storm. It's one of the Paul brothers projects.
Fantastic.
The ETR. It's supposed to be in-game live microtransactions, but there's 1,000 problems that people have brought up, and I do not see how this goes mainstream.
Let's talk about promos and promo farming in a way. I'm going to try and do it. It's going to have a degree of difficulty to it, because we're going to have to talk about it in a way that won't get us fired, right? We're not supposed to talk about other companies, but this is education. This is like a public service right now, right?
Realistically, no one's listening anyway. So
that's true. And then there's that. So what I like is to acknowledge that if everybody's got DraftKings by now, right? You got DraftKings, you got FanDuel. Whenever you get asked that question by newbies who are like, oh, which app is the best? All of them. Just get 5. Start there, and then you'll figure out your favorites. But, you know, collect them all, right? And like Louisiana, for example, being a brand new market back in January of this year, we got bombarded with it. And as was well documented on the show, we really made some money by taking advantage of the bonus system and the referral system and all that, right? But here we are, like, you know, just using Louisiana as an example still, because that's, you know, where most of our listenership is. We're in late October of the same year of its first run. And T, they've been slowly, like, adding additional companies with very little fanfare. So they've added 2 books since the initial onslaught when it was first legalized back in January. And, of course, what do we know about new books, T?
Free money.
Free money. So it's time to go, right? It's time to go a promo farming. It's time to go out there and see what's out there. And I actually engaged in a little bit of this week, right? I was like, let me put my promo farming hat on. Let me go get some of this free money. We've got 2 new companies that have added. WynnBET has added to Louisiana, since nobody, you know, that nobody's talking about. And PointsBet has been added to Louisiana that nobody's talking about. In addition to, of course, DraftKings, Barstool, FanDuel, MGM, Caesars. Did I leave anybody out? Probably not.
What's the deal with PointsBet? Are they a traditional book, or do they have a weird spread system where you bet on any points over the spread type thing?
Good that you asked. They have a traditional sports book, and then their own gimmick is, let's say you take under 45 on Pittsburgh last week, the Pittsburgh game, and only, what, like 19 points get scored or 29 points get scored? your winnings increase the further from the total. So they've got this this innovative kind of gimmicky. Did you cover the points? How many of the points did you cover? Did you bust the, you know, did you over the total or under the total by how much? And they'll reward you. My understanding and kind of taking a cursory look at it, it's pretty risky. It's really volatile.
Do you owe them more money if the over hits by a significant amount in that example?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, that is correct. I don't know. It was all a bit much for me. and I really, I've got a long story to come back to on PointsBet about why I'm not able to answer that question for you. The other is, of course, like I said, Wynn Gaming. And they had a promo. So, you know, both Wynn and PointsBet had promos available, right? And the promo for Wynn was nothing near as cool or lucrative as using code BOOT like you would at DraftKings Sportsbook in Louisiana or anywhere, courtesy of Boot Crew Media. They're just giving you, if you deposit $100, make a $100 bet, they're going to give you another $100 win or lose.
It's like a match bonus type thing.
It's not a bad match bonus. I like that they're requiring you to bet the big amount, you know, I mean, but it's straight up coming back to you. So let's say you, even if you hit that bet, they're still going to give you the 100 extra. So if you hit a minus 110 bet, you're going to win, you know, $190 plus another $100 that you'll then have to go launder that $100 promo money through because it's going to be in free bets, but you're set yourself up for a, you know, $150 winning there, right? Just free money out the box. And so I actually signed up with Wynn, found sign up to be easy, found registration to be easy, found deposit to be easy. Withdrawal looks a little, but you know, could be worse. I'm probably going to engage in this Wynn promo farming. It feels good. I just would really like to win my first bet, and I would really like to, you know, and that's where I'm going to rely on you this week. I want to hear everything that you have to say about NFL Week 8, especially since you said you're excited about it. The other is PointsBet, and PointsBet is running a promo where they're offering $2,000 back in second chance bets. And this promo, T, I do not like.
Okay, what's a second chance bet? By
the first 500 of it is dedicated to a traditionals like a wager, right? You can get a second chance bet on up to $500 at PointsBet. A second chance bet requires that you lose the first bet. I do not like that. In stark contrast with what we're seeing at Wynn, where they're giving you $100 win or lose, or like you would using code BOOT, where they'd give you $200 just for participating, right? I don't like the fact this is a second chance. Furthermore, the other $1,500 of it is tied to that wacky points bet, spread bet thing we talked about. They're in their gimmick. Right. And they will second chance you up to $1,500 on a lost points bet. I think doing this right and doing this the right way is knowing like when to say, nah, come up with something better, points bet. You know what I mean? Like, I'll wait for another promo or something. Like, I don't want to fool with either. I don't like the idea of a second chance bet to begin with. Sorry, I'm not going to use your shit. You know, step it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have many options here as many options as you do, but that seems a little complicated for me. Where when I'm looking for bonuses like that, I just want a pretty straightforward process where I'm not questioning where my money is or going. So I don't know. That doesn't seem like a great promo to launch in a state that's relatively new to gambling as well.
Right.
So it's someone generally the person who's going to sign up either is really good at gambling, understands it, or just looking for the free promos, doesn't really know what they're doing, maybe not knows the system that well. I feel like there should be more of an educational piece there with the different breakdowns.
And I think like something like that. I'll take another look at them around Super Bowl time. You know, I mean, surely they'll have a better promo for new accounts at the Super Bowl, right? Or like March Madness or something like that. I don't know, but like, you know, like I'm not, I can wait. I don't need that. You know, I'm out on that. So that's just a little bit on promo farming. Like I said, I you know, there's a way to do it. Say you miss your first bet, you know, on the win, but you're still getting $100. You know, you're getting 100 if you win, you're getting 100 if you lose. So I like it either way. Tia wanted to, we have to acknowledge these unders coming in a lot this year, right? It's been low scoring. I was talking to a friend, I guess like much of this conversation is tied to, I think we've talked about it and touched on it before, like same game parlay is not hitting, right? Same game parlay is like, let's say tonight we got Thursday night football. Surely you're going to see some kind of stupid featured same game parlay on the front end of your favorite sports gambling app. That's like Leonard Fournette, one touchdown, Mike Evans, run touchdown, you know, like
Gus Edwards, 50 yards, a touchdown, Ravens win, Lamar Jackson, like 20 completions, I saw or something.
Just, but here's the deal. Like, let's say you fell for one of those gimmicks, Bucks game last week. Nobody scored touchdown.
Justin Herbert, DraftKings, not to knock DraftKings. We love DraftKings. DraftKings are great. Promo code boot. They used the Justin Herbert any one touchdown pass.
I plus saw 100. That.
I bet on it. I bet the $25 max, and he did not throw a single touchdown.
You're not the only person that I know that did that, and I didn't do it because I was like,
that seems like an obvious one. One touchdown.
I said he might not throw a touchdown pass, and I don't want to be in that crowd.
I don't know. I thought they would have sent us like a.
They are throwing out good stuff. Like, I mean, I'll give another kudos to. You'll talk back to promos real quick. It's like there are cool promos, like advantageous promos that pop all the time. Last Thursday when the Saints were playing on versus the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football, they did that. Your team gets out to a 7-point lead, your money line bet cashes. So I was able to bet the underdog Saints on the money line
on Rashid
and
Chahid.
Win that bet in the first quarter when they scored a touchdown on the first drive. And went on to get smoked in the game. I won an underdog money line bet because of that.
They do have, there's a few where they'll give you like, here's a handful of boosts to use on this sport for the weekend. I like those because it's bets I'm making anyway, but I now get plus odds on most of them.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Promo farming's a 365 day a year job. Never stops. T. Why do you think we're seeing more defense across all sports? We're seeing more injuries. You know, totals are coming in low this year. You have to acknowledge the elephant in the room. And I think that there's a variety of reasons for that. But I was having this conversation with a friend the other night, taking the example of just, I think all of this ultimately comes back to the players are bigger, stronger and faster than they've ever been before, right? But the playing surfaces are the same size. They're not getting any larger. So things that require pursuit, right? Defense, more advantageous. More quarterback sack, you know. More quarterbacks getting hurt, we should say. There are more penalties on defensive linemen for getting after quarterbacks. Because there's not 32 competent left or right tackles in the league. Just like there's not 32 competent quarterbacks, right? But there are capable defenders. I mean, it's just the bigger, stronger, faster, I think is why we're seeing just more defense, lower totals, less touchdowns. I could put my tinfoil cap on and I could say, well, this might be also be if books were able to influence the outcomes of games, then that would push to less. That would typically push to the under, right? Especially in this age of touchdown props and incentives and parlays. The other piece of it, like the best example I can think of is like back to when I was a kid, you know, I was a kid when Charles Barkley was in the NBA, right? It's so great. I got to hear Charles Barkley. Anytime he's on like Russillo or Bill Simmons or anywhere, I have to listen. If I get to listen to Barkley talk for 45 minutes, that's a plus in my book. But anyway, compare the body type of a Charles Barkley to that of like a Zion Williamson. You know what I mean? Charles Barkley was 6'4". And he looked like a guy that had probably never lifted a weight in his life. But for the entirety of his playing career, when he wasn't the outright most valuable player of the league itself, he was always at least top five player in the league. With that kind of body type, he was able to do it. Not a chance that would happen today. And it's only been 20 years.
There's a lot. I mean, I have a bunch of theories on it. I think the one that actually has a lot of legs is your tinfoil hat that betting could play an impact on it. Unders or the totals aren't necessarily like much higher than they have been, right? So it's not like the books are adjusting, but they are hitting in a pretty crazy amount. The bigger, stronger, faster is a good argument. And you can look at it from like any sport, right? Like baseball, everyone's stronger, faster, right? It's just natural evolution. I think of it too, where, well, you got idiots like Boomer Esiason on the Fan, who was an enemy of mine for his ripping on Jameis the start of the year, which was now rightfully so. He thinks he's still holding on to this argument. He brought it up a couple weeks ago that, oh, it's because players didn't play preseason games. How is that still impacting at this point in the season? A lot of players get paid a lot of guaranteed money now, or they don't want to risk injury to prevent future earnings before they get that big contract.
Absolutely. I have that written down. Look, players are more in business for themselves.
Correct.
But also I get that, and I don't begrudge them that one bit.
No, it's right. Just the nature of, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, whatever, people would be, you know, doing their tortall shots at half. They still do, but yeah. They were playing through everything. Now it's like any minor tweak, they take a week off because they can't risk their future, which I understand, they're a commodity. But then you got Michael fucking Thomas, who just played, what, 3 games in 3 years, whatever it is. Like, always something new. That's a guy I don't care about him anymore. He doesn't have any rent in my space. Like, if he's out there, great. If he's not, I'm not going to count on him. Not to get off on a tangent on him, but
no. When you DM me that meme you sent me,
fucking loser. Yeah, he's a. I don't know, but yeah, I think there's a lot of offense too. I think we're at an interesting transition point in the progression of offenses, where they're kind of in this in between ground where you get a lot of college inspiration and a lot of speed offenses. And there's also the traditional offenses, you know, like the Saints love to run the ball and do play action pass, right? Pretty traditional West Coast type stuff. There's that this weird transition where nothing, like the Chiefs offense was very high powered, seemed fairly modern age, right? A lot of down the field, rely on the quarterback. I feel like a lot of teams don't have that it factor and they have a lack of identity. When you have bigger, faster athletes, like you mentioned on defense, that just results in them being able. There's so much film, too, where teams aren't changing game plans on a weekly basis, where there's a lot more intel out there for defensive coordinators to scheme against. And there's a lot of examples of things working. So, like, the Chiefs and Bengals don't play well and it's covered too deep. So teams have all that information times a million with all the analytics now. I think they can just game plan much better on a shorter turnaround. Athletes are better. Injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, I don't think there's a one right answer, but there's multiple factors here, and it's making for some pretty disgusting football in general.
Well, you know, I heard you said it again with the analytics, and to me, that equals, you know, better educated, better informed teams equals more parity, right? And so that's why last week going 6-3 strictly against the spread, my spread bets were 6-3, was taking the points almost every scenario.
Excellent point you bring up, because underdogs are 62-45-1 against the spread this year and 43-64-1 straight up. So if you bet $100 on every underdog money line, you'd be up like $1,500 in the season.
I had that conversation with every single friend I talked about gambling with on the phone this week.
underdogs of 3 points or more are 44-22 against spread. So why would we change that strategy now, right? Like,
right.
It doesn't seem to be changing, so.
Nope. And, I mean, yeah. And God bless them because, dude, there's a bunch of big, fat, juicy spreads out there this week. Shall we get into them?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now that we've solved the problem, now that we've solved all the world's problems of why we're seeing unders and parity and underdogs are covering, we're explaining why. We're telling them why.
That's right.
So we just told you why. Now we're going to go show you why.
Let's show them. What's Let's tonight? Show. Thursday night tonight. Ravens, Buccaneers.
You want to talk about showing them tonight? I might make this my win bet $100 bet, dude.
Oh, boy. I'm sure you got – so you're saying you have a good feel on this one.
Oh, I got a read on this one.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, give me Ravens. I'll take them on the money line, plus 105. I mean, it's going to be – honestly, it'll probably be a late call. The spread plus two, the total in this game is 46. Ravens are two-point dogs on the road. Tampa hasn't shown me anything, man.
No, they fucking stink.
They're not good. They're not good. I'm not worried about Tampa. I don't understand the Ravens being underdogs in this game. I don't understand them being dogs in this game.
Well, they weren't always. The line moved a ton in this game. Since Sunday, it was Tampa Bay minus three.
Yeah.
Monday, it was Tampa Bay plus 1.5. So 4.5-point shift.
Then it I think all you smart gamblers like you, I'll put you in that. You're one of those. Y'all are the problem.
Well, it went up to Tampa plus two, and then now it's Tampa minus one. So it's flipped.
This is the same kind of bullshit last week with the Jags and the Giants. the smarts of the world went and convinced themselves that the Jaguars should be 3-point favorites over the fucking 5-1 Giants. We've seen Tampa Bay. We know they're in trouble this year. That's all the data I need.
Okay. Well, I have data for you to back up your thought.
I want to hear it.
My best bet in this game is the under 45.5.
Beautiful.
Pretty basic, but why mess with what's working, right? Under is 16-5 in the last 21 games on Thursday night. That's hitting at 76%. I don't know why you wouldn't ride that. Home. So I like the under the best. My second bet, what I'm also doing, not parlay, just separate bet, is Ravens first half money line at plus 100. Lamar Jackson against the first half spread is 37-21-2, which is 64%. He is the second best quarterback against the first half spread in the last 20 years. He was only behind one other quarterback. You know who that is?
Who?
Drew Brees. But just as elite. Joe Flacco.
Jalen Hurts.
You were going to guess Joe Flacco, were you?
No, I was saying Jalen Hurts.
Well, Joe Flacco was the number one quarterback against the first half spread in the last 20 years. And Lamar on the road against the first half spreads, 28-1. Tom Brady's 7-8 straight up and 2-13 against the spread in his last 15 night games. He fails to cover the spread by an average of 8.4 points per game. And Bucks team totals are 1-6 this season, while Lamar is 12-1 straight up against the NFC in his career. There is not a single iota of data that I've dug into for this game that backs the Buccaneers or makes them a worthwhile pick. So I like the Ravens' first half money line, the under, and I wouldn't hate a Ravens spread or money line. Total, like, or for the full game, like you have.
First half money lines plus 105. First half spread plus one to the Ravens.
I'll take them outright first half and then just root for no points in the second.
I like it. I'm probably still going to go full game, but you piqued my interest with this first half. And I might go first half, second half.
That's not a bad play either. Yeah.
Next game, T, that we're so excited about. We got a London game again this week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. 9:30 a.m. It's going to be on ESPN Plus.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
It's not on NFL Network?
No.
That seems bogus.
It's on ESPN Plus, my friend. The Denver Broncos are traveling to London to take on the homestanding Jacksonville Jaguars.
Eight London games for Jacksonville. Most of any team, obviously.
Yeah, that's their second home. That's their official second home because of the Khan family. Jacksonville is 2.5-point home favorites in London. Total on this game is 39.5. 39.5 is the total. I get to watch Russell Wilson suck ass in London.
He was doing Heinies in the plane, though, so that could be something.
He said he said that he's feeling great. He's ready to go, and I couldn't be more excited. We took a week off from watching the Russell Wilson experience last week due to injury, but he will be back and reporting to duty. I don't know, man.
That game was rarely on red zone last week, I will tell you that.
Yeah, didn't see much Broncos rare. Offense. That is true. That is true. Gosh, I don't feel – I'm not that confident in the Jags, though. You know what I mean?
If this wasn't a pretty low game,
total.
Yeah.
But I can see that. I can see – I mean, I really feel like the play that I would be rooting for, my early window Sunday football consumption, why not root for a fucking under? Russell Wilson in the under.
Not a bad play. The line opened at Denver -7, so it's a 9.5-point swing.
Jeez. mighty have fallen, huh?
Yeah. If this game wasn't in London, like it wasn't a standalone game, I probably would not touch it at all. But I'm gonna have to because it's gonna be on. Well, maybe it's not on TV, so maybe I won't bet it. But right now, I lean Jacksonville.
You don't have ESPN Plus?
No, I don't.
Wow, that's discipline, man.
I know. I guess I won't. You get so many streaming things coming out of these TVs. Like, it's just hard to keep up with that. I'm just getting charged for things I don't even know if I'm using anymore at this point. But I like Jacksonville. Russell Wilson is a very weird guy who does not want to appear as weird. So he tries very hard to be cool, which in turn makes him even weirder in the process instead of just owning who he is. Aside from that, stinks of football now. I think it's pretty clear. I don't see a magical awakening here in London against a team that's fairly competitive. There's a reason this line shifted that much. I'm just going to ride Jacksonville before it gets to 3 and pray. That seems like the only option here. Do you trust Russell Wilson getting only 2.5 on the road in a foreign country?
I've watched so much Broncos this year. I mean,
they force you to. They're on every primetime game.
That is true. They've had a lot of standalone games. It's unbelievable. The level to which they are a dumpster fire is just remarkable. Remarkable. Next game, Patriots traveling to the Meadowlands to take on my New York Jets. Man, this one, I can't wait to hear your biased take on this.
I got my bias in this one.
Jets are 2.5-point home dogs. Total on this game is 40.5. Jets are +110 money line dogs. Patriots -130 money line favorites. And we don't even know who their quarterback is.
Mac Jones starting.
The disrespect that my New York Jets receive. I don't even. My head's about to explode.
You're taking the Jets again.
Oh, dude, you got to ride the hot hand.
Fuck no. We are going Bill Sala Belichick.
Is the hot hand.
Bill Belichick, -2.5. Since 2016, Patriots are 12-0 straight up and 8-4 against the spread versus the Jets. If there's a time to buy low on Belichick and a get right game, this is that time. Hot, overrated Jets again. I'm surprised we're not favored in this game. I think it's in New York. Not that that matters, but this is textbook Belichick outcoach Robert Saleh move here. Under 3, historically dominated rivalry, a team who just lost to a team they shouldn't have on prime time. That trickles into the minds of bettors, the filthy casual, as you've so nicely coined them. This is Jets is a square play here by a mile. You have to be sharp here, and this is the Patriots all the way. It has to be. If the Patriots don't cover this game, my whole gambling universe is going to come crumbling.
I'm going to text you at 2:45 p.m. Central Time, 3:45 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. as what'd you call me? A square? What did you say? This
filthy
is
square? Casual, a square. Yeah. Filthy it's a casual? It's a lazy bet, and you're better than that, is all I'm saying.
Oh, you hate the Jets, man.
Because you're going off
eye. You hate the Jets so much.
Because you're going off eye, what your eyes see, not what's there. You have to go between the lines.
Chicago Bears are traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. This one, T. 9.5-point favorites are the Cowboys. Total on the game is 42.5. Jets are a plus 340 dog on the money. I'm sorry, not Jets. The Bears are a plus 340 dog on the money line. Everybody's got their limits on taking these points, right? I mean, I know the Cowboys did cover a hefty spread last week, but this is what we were talking about earlier. I don't feel like this game is good of an example as the next one, is I'm willing to kind of lay off this game, maybe do some player props related to Justin Fields rushing and passing, like, just try to get him to even odds on a rushing total, passing total. That's not too hard to reach, because I do think he's going to have to move around quite a bit against Micah Parsons and this Cowboys defense. But in a world where I'm going to be taking the points a whole lot more from here on out, I don't want to do it on this game.
No, I agree. The Bears to me are still like one of those unknowns. I mean, we know they're bad, but we don't know how bad, I guess. We don't know how deep their suckiness drips. But I mean, they showed us something last week, whatever. I think that just helped get the spread from like 13.5 down to 9.5. But I'm going to take the Cowboys team total at 26.5, go over that. Second week for Dak. Should have a little bit more practice time with his team, right? A little more rhythm. They got it together in the second half of that game. They didn't play a super clean game, but the Lions, I think, are better than the Bears and more feisty. This is a classic letdown spot for the Bears, and this is where they're going to, I think, show our true colors. This is a good. This is a chance for the Cowboys to assert themselves towards the top of the NFC. And I think they do it, but I don't know if it's 7 or 9.5, whatever it is, too much to touch. So, again, minimize the variables out of your control. Just focus on Cowboys offense getting right against a pretty shoddy Bears defense or an okay Bears defense in Dallas. Dak's second game back. This is a good opportunity for the Cowboys to score a lot of points, I think.
I like it. I do like the next game, the Battle of Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Steelers are traveling to Philly to take on the Eagles. The Eagles are 10.5-point home favorites. Total on this game is 43. Steelers are plus 380 dogs on the money line. T, you look at that Eagles schedule, and there's not a whole lot of losses on it, right? I don't think they're going to be a dog for the rest of the season.
Are you saying Jake Luton leading the Saints into Philly in cold December isn't going to be a favorite?
I'm talking about I'm talking about the Eagles. Yeah, that's what I'm – yes, Jake Luton is our quarterback.
That's in my imagination. I think that's what's
going to happen. You know, they're going to drop some games along the way. I feel like they're getting all this love because they are a dominant they're undefeated. They've earned it, right? But there's going to be a lot of games they're not covering these massive spreads. It's just, as we talked about earlier, the nature of the NFL, the parity. I love Mike Tomlin getting 10.5 points here. This is something I'm very, very excited about. Steelers plus 10.5 is the way to go on this one. And that's it.
Yep. Yeah, no. I have nothing on this game just because it's a little too much uncertainty on both sides for me. It's a lot of points. I have seen some gamblers I respect in some articles in which the under is a popular play among sharps. I think that's right, because I don't think Pittsburgh scores a ton of points. Is Mitch the quarterback this week? Is Kenny Pickett back? Do we know?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That was another point I was going to make. I don't, there's a lot of uncertainty, and I don't even care. Because I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
I know 10.5 is too much. I lean Pittsburgh. I'm going to take them in a pick'em pool, but I'm not going to bet on anything for this game. I don't think there's just too many other games at this time. Realistically, I'll be watching the Saints and that's it. So it really doesn't matter. But I just 10.5. Like, I could see the Pittsburgh getting throttled and I could see them playing a tight game. But I think if you're going to have to bet on this game, the best play is either the under or the underdog.
Arizona's traveling to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. If the playoffs started today, the Vikings would be in real good shape. I think they'd be the 2 or 3 seed in the NFC. 3.5-point home favorites over the Cardinals. Total on the game is 49. Cards are plus 165. Dogs on the money line. I don't like the hook here. I don't like that. I don't like that hook on the 3. You know. So even though I'm still not sold on the Cardinals, you know, do not think the Cardinals are a good football team. But man, I don't know. No fly zone for me on this one.
Yeah, this game stinks, but I like the Cardinals plus 3.5 with the hook.
That hook is important, right?
I think it matters here. I don't want to put too much into the Cardinals. I think this is more so my understanding, and this is a lot on the eye test, not a lot of data to back this up, but I feel like Minnesota lets teams back into games quite a bit, and this could be huge with the back door and the hook. So I do like Arizona. I'm getting over 3. It's not my favorite bet of the week, but I feel much more comfortable taking the points in this game than taking Minnesota.
Next game is Carolina Panthers traveling to Atlanta, NFC South interdivision rivalry. Atlanta is 4-point home favorites. Total on this game is 41. It's important to point out the Carolina Panthers are plus 175 on the money line this week because they definitely cashed on the money line last week. Were they plus 800? I mean, that was insanity. I guess it's the biggest upset of the year so far, right? From a point spread standpoint, Carolina as 13-point underdogs defeated Tom Brady 21-3?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You called it the preseason. He's done. It's over.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all about him, but he certainly is not helping, right? Like it seems like his just reign is falling apart.
He's part of the problem. You know, with his attitude and the way he conducts himself and the way he's held to a different standard. And no, it's not good for that team's chemistry. It's good when things are good, but dude, it's bad when things are bad. You know what I mean? You can have the prima donna around when things are going well, but when things aren't, that dog doesn't hunt, dude. I don't know. I see a tight game here. I kind of like Panthers getting 4 points. I kind of like just getting in the mud and betting on this game in the first place, right? Like, just it makes me feel dirty, so I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna lean into the dirty on this one. I'm not taking them dirty South fail birds. I do like the Panthers getting 4 here.
Yeah, I'm gonna fade you on that one.
You want the Falcons?
Yeah, there's a pretty significant system that I track sometimes that. Essentially, when a team beats a team that they were underdogs against by a significant amount, the next week they cover at like 20% of the time. So you get the – realistically, this line with how bad Carolina really is roster-wise, this should be like a 7.5 spread. So you're getting the benefit of getting a lower number based on Carolina's big win last week. So that's an easy opportunity for us to buy Atlanta low after they lost as well, getting us a much more valuable spread than what we normally would. Watch Atlanta's injury news. Their secondary's banged up. This is probably the team where that does not matter when they have no real offensive weapons or a quarterback besides P.J. Walker. Last week, to me, was more about the Bucs falling apart than it was about the Panthers doing anything particularly special. So I really like Atlanta here. This is probably my best bet of the week. Huh. Anything under 6 for me works. But I think it'll be right around -4. Obviously, under field goal will be great. But the line opened Carolina -1.5, shifted up to Atlanta -5 or 6, now down to 4, 4.5. So either way, I like Atlanta. I think anything under a touchdown. Interesting. Carolina's defense is good, and Atlanta's offense is meh, but I just think there's this – even as bad as Atlanta is, I think there's a significant talent drop between these two teams.
We'll see.
But the Falcons got lit up by the Bengals. Are you going to – do you think the Panthers are the equivalent of the Bengals offense, especially the passing game?
I think not having Matt Rhule around made a difference.
I mean, yeah, Brock could have for sure.
I think not having Baker Mayfield around made a difference. You know, they may end up looking like geniuses on Christian McCaffrey. by the end of business Sunday, we could be going, boy, those sly Panthers, they knew CMC was going to blow out his Achilles here in week 8.
Yeah. I mean, you're splitting time with Jeff Wilson.
That's what the numbers would indicate. Yeah. I don't know, man. It'll be fun. Like I said, it's a game that I typically would give no concern to, but I'm mysteriously drawn to it this week. Miami Dolphins are traveling to Detroit to take on the Lions. Lions are 3.5-point home dogs. Total on this game is 51.5. Lions are 160, plus 160 dogs on the money line. T, we love betting on our Dolphins. And even though they're getting the hook here as well, plus 3.5, I think that the magic has ran out on the Dan Campbell Express.
Yeah. No, it's valid.
I think that the Dan Campbell magic is not working anymore. And when they've got injuries, they've got injuries at significant positions on offense, and our run and gun Lions are not making it happen, man. I like Miami minus the 3.5 here.
I thought about it too. I initially thought Miami, but the Dolphins, the line's been moving between 3 and 3.5 pretty much. And from what I understand, the Dolphins are getting 84% of the handle, and it hasn't moved too much past that. Why is a team favored so low and all that money on it not moving when they haven't covered since week 3? Dolphins have not covered a spread since they were 4-point underdogs to the Bills in that crazy game when they won. So that's 4 or 5 weeks now. They haven't covered or looked great. Yeah, they've had injuries. I don't think they deserve to be favored by this many points. So I like the over, and I like Detroit, and I like the potential of this in-game teaser where you get the over down to 44.5 or 45.5 and Detroit plus 9.5, but you're going to get minus 120 odds. Looking at the game, I just really like the over. I think Miami will get right there. I don't think the Lions defense is very good. I think they're actually one of the worst in the league aside from Seattle. And then Tua should get hot against that defense. The Lions offense is okay. They're getting DeAndre Swift back this week. And Amon-Ra St. Brown should also play, which are critical pieces in their offense. So I think with those two players coming back, I really like the Lions here, and I like the over a lot more.
Interesting. Last game of the early window, Las Vegas Raiders traveling to New Orleans to take on our beloved New Orleans Saints. Saints are 1-point home underdogs. They're getting plus 1 on this game. Total is 49.5. Saints are plus 100 to win straight up on the money line. Raiders minus 120. T, I'm just going to say it this plainly. You want to hear my take on the Jameis Winston-Andy Dalton conversation? My takeaway from the Jameis Winston-Andy Dalton conversation that's happening right now, with Andy Dalton having been named the starter by Dennis Allen, even though it is acknowledged that Jameis Winston is now healthy, Dennis feels that Dalton should get the start right now, gives him the best chance to win, I suppose. My takeaway, my hot one, is Dennis Allen is a bad head football coach.
Yeah, my takeaway is I don't give a shit either way. Honestly, I don't think it matters. But I'd rather see Jameis at this point, right?
I think you have to see what you have in Jameis.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. That's the only way I see it. And if he's truly healthy enough to play, then why isn't he out there? Andy Dalton may be your better chance to win, but you're 2-5. Who really cares? Unless you truly see yourself as a division contender winning it at 9 wins, which is possible with this division. Why would you not play the guy you signed to be the starter if he's healthy when you blamed his first – few bad starts on injury issues?
It makes no sense.
You can't play at both sides now.
No, he's trying to play both sides. It makes zero sense.
He's been doing that every week, though. He's soft. He has no motion. It's, we're going to get after it. We have some things to clean up. He said that every week. We have things to clean up. When is he going to actually, like, tell us? I want him to be open. That's what I'd like. I'd like vulnerability from a head coach.
Some guys are just not cut out to be head football coaches. He's one of them. Yeah. Right.
Well, this is a wrap. This is a rematch for him, right? Against his former fucking tire fire team.
The jilted ex-lovers coming to town.
God.
Or hosting, I should say. My goodness. I don't know, bro. I don't even care to fade the Saints. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit.
If Lattimore plays, this is going to be a bad game for us.
I'll be throwing tomatoes at my screen if Mike Thomas ain't there. If I see Mike Thomas in street clothes.
In practice yesterday.
Oh, he's not going to play. A guy got shot in the preseason. And he's playing.
He missed four games, yeah. Michael Thomas.
He's missed less games than Mike Thomas, and he got shot.
I'm truly shocked we haven't seen him show up on the injury report with, like, a partially torn labia or something. Like, body parts he doesn't even naturally have, like, at this point. I think he is a competitor, and I think he wants to be out there. I don't think it's, like, a mental thing. Is he that fragile? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in any people's heads, but they're not there on Sunday, so I'm not going to give him any attention, right? Like, I'm not going to say, oh, if we had Michael Thomas, it would be better. Like, if he plays, great. If he doesn't, I don't care. I don't care about anything anymore, honestly. I'm watching the Pels more.
Feels like we've been doing this thing with Mike Thomas for a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, he's
played. Has it been 3 years? Have we been doing this for 3 years now?
Yeah, the end of 2019. You remember, he didn't play any games last year.
Nope, no games last year.
And I think he missed most of 2019.
He played in maybe five games in 2019.
So that's almost 3 years now. We've seen him play in a handful of games. When he plays, he's great most of the time.
It is pissing me off about the Saints more than anything.
That and the fact that Alvin Kamara hasn't scored a touchdown is bizarre.
That's a lot of same game parlays, RIP, right?
Yeah, exactly. The only bright spot of this team is like a Taysom Hill, Pete Warner combo. They're okay. Everyone else in the defense can't tackle or slow. I mean, we say it every week. I don't have any more F's to give about the team, honestly. If they start winning, great, but they're not going to. So why do I care?
You want to meet me in Pittsburgh? Want to go to that Pittsburgh game?
No. Okay. I'm not wasting a single dollar on this team. I was thinking about going this weekend because my dad's a Raiders fan, so we were going to go down the game together, but they cannot justify spending more money on this team right now.
Didn't you say you got your dad a car jersey?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and I put mascara in the – yep, exactly, mascara.
That's good. That's good.
I don't know.
Tennessee Titans. I don't even want to – I mean
– I got nothing on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And like I said, I'm not even spirited enough to fade the Saints.
This could be a tie.
I fade the Saints. 21.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even care because they might win that game. You know, I don't know.
Saints have beat the Raiders in a few times. I remember the last they played them 2 years ago on Monday night, got beat after going up like 10 or 14-0. That's when Breeze was still there, and they played them in the dome, 2016 or 2017, Week One. Brandon Cooks had a 98-yard touchdown from our own 2 to Drew Breeze, and they still lost by like 35 or 40 to 30. That's when their defense is really bad. I feel like recently we haven't played well against them. I don't remember the last time they beat the Raiders. Not that that means anything, but just.
Tennessee Titans are traveling to their former home of Houston to take on the Texans. The Texans are 2.5-point home favorites. Total on the game is 40.5. Texans are plus 120 on the money line. Titans are minus 140. When are they going to learn? Stop fucking with my Titans like this.
You
2.5 last week to Indy, who benched their quarterback, basically retired Matt Ryan after the game. That was Matt Ryan's retirement game. And this week they've got Houston. I don't care if it's on the road. Tennessee's from Houston. They get it. 2.5.
Yeah,
I'm taking Tennessee minus 2.5 in this game. I saw it was funny. I was looking at you ever look at those the player prop that got away post game? You know, I was like, I was whining and dining and romancing the idea of Derrick Henry over 22.5 carries pregame last week, and then you just go back and you check that stat line at the end of the game, and you're like, oh yeah, he ran the ball 30 times. And he'll probably do it again this week. He's just in that gear right now. He's in that mode.
Yeah. I don't like Tennessee here though. This is a weird spot for me. And there's a lot of reasoning behind that. And Houston's a 2.5-point home dog. What kind of dog would they have been if they had beaten the Raiders last week? Would they have been a dog at all?
But that doesn't change who the right. That doesn't change who. We're less than a field goal here. My thing is, we get 2.5 or less. I'm not as concerned, right?
Right. No, it's a valid. It's an extremely valid, makes sense pick. I think there's something shady here where the spread should be bigger. So I'm going to take the home team after a big loss against a team who won, only getting 2.5 points. I feel like it should be getting a lot more. So Vegas, this to me is a stinky line where I'm going to take the Texans.
I think I'm underthinking it and you're overthinking it.
Probably.
One of us is going to be right. I'm excited to see who. 49ers are traveling to L.A. to take on the Rams. Rams are 1.5-point home dogs to the Niners. Total on the game is 43. We've already predicted a Christian McCaffrey injury in this game, specifically blown ACL. I don't know that we can wager on that. But what's your thoughts on this game from a gambling standpoint on bets that we can make?
I hate this game. It's pretty tough for me, but notably, San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan have owned Sean McVay. Kyle Shanahan's 8-3 straight up and against the spread in the regular season against McVay. Niners lost to them a few weeks ago, but covered. I believe the spread was 3.5. I always take San Francisco in these matchups. This time, I'm not, because there's a lot of public action on the Niners. So I'm actually going to go over 43. I think the fact that the Rams have offense has been so bad is getting us a low total. This game has 23-20 written all over it, so I'm going to take the chance and I'm going over with 24-20. It's got to be to me. I just felt this one when I looked at it. I think it's a chance for this game to get a little more crazy than it has been traditionally between these two. McCaffrey's there. Second week, feel like he should be a little bit more involved. If I had to pick a side, I'd like the Niners, but it seems too square and casual of a play, so I'm going to go over 43 and probably lean the Rams in a pick 'em.
You have a believer in me in the over 43.
It's low.
Yep.
And I don't think it should be that. I think it should be low, but I think it should be like 46.
Right. No, you got it, dude. I'm all over that one with you. My New York Giants are traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. In league MVP front runner Geno Smith. Total on this game is 44.5. Giants are plus 135 on the money line. Maybe that's significant. Let me hear you tell me why it's a really bad idea to bet on the Giants this week.
Well, who do you think I'm taking?
I think that you're as predictable as Pete Carmichael on a second down. I think you're taking the Seahawks.
That's right. Here comes an incompletion or a handoff for 1 yard, but Seahawks -3 is the only play here. Has to be. West Coast, team traveling 3,000 plus miles. Daniel Jones, notable, a famous fumbler. A lot of peanuts are going to be dropped in the aisles on a 6.5-hour flight. I'm telling you that. Seattle opened at 2.5 and went to 3 instantly. A lot of public not a lot of public action, a lot of sharp action from what I can tell on Seattle. Good offense. Giants are a little banged up, I think, on their offensive line as well. Their defense isn't great, and Seattle's offense has been pretty solid. Giants just won another game. They're 7-0 against the spread, I believe, and then 6-1 straight up. This is a good spot to take Seattle, I think. And this isn't me being biased, but I like Seattle. It's totally biased, obviously.
Here's what I'm gonna do. All right, just to show you how reasonable of a man I am. Rather than bet against my Giants this week, I just won't bet at all on the Giants game because I agree with you. Seattle minus three is the right pick.
I haven't picked the Giants game right this year, but I keep going back to the well. So I'm like, I'm tempted to not do it either, but I feel like I have to now just to keep up with my shtick of hating the Giants.
This is the one I'm going to lay off. I do like Seattle minus three here. Oh, I'm racking my brain for lots of clever things to call this next game, which involves the Washington Commanders taking on the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday afternoon in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Colts are 3-point home favorites. The total on this game is only 39.5. One of the reasons why the total on this game is only 39.5 is because both of these teams have felt the wrath and the pain of employing Carson Wentz as your starting quarterback in the very recent past. T, things just they can't get worse, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Taylor Heineke.
This is to me a pretty textbook like stay away game, but I do lean Washington if I had to. I don't like the total either way because I don't know what we're gonna get. Realistically, under is probably the smart play, but I know what I have a pretty sizable sample size from Taylor Heineke and what he can do.
Yeah,
notably last week he won. That's recent memory.
I liked him last week.
Colts, you get Sam Ellinger, Erlinger.
I
know who he is. I can't say his last name, but I mean, with Texas, he was okay. I think this is his third year.
I had to go back and look at Matt Ryan's stat line so far on the year. Oh. And I was like, man, was he really that bad? Because I've talked to so many people that we all feel the same way. Like, as Saints fans who hate the Falcons, we were all kind of rooting for Matt Ryan this year, you know, in Indy. His stat line was that bad.
I think he had 10 or 11 fumbles in the first six or
seven. But he's had a ridiculous amount of fumbles. I like the Commanders here. I kind of like the idea of maybe teasing this game too, taking that Commanders plus three to Commanders plus nine, and doing something fun with this total, like, I don't know, bringing it down to 33.5 or bringing it up to 45 and taking the under. You know, 45.5 to the under.
I think bringing it up is better than bringing it down just because you have two not exactly super. The Commanders' defense is actually really good. And against
they
the
are.
Pass, against the pass, they bring a lot of pressure without blitzing, which that to me is a really, really bad situation for a young quarterback who doesn't have a lot of starting experience, if any. A team that's going to be able to get to you without bringing people from coverage, not getting any easy throws or windows, that to me is disaster. So I really like Washington, especially with the points, but there's a lot of unknowns here with the two quarterbacks, but I'm probably going to end up betting on Washington. I don't know how they're not. I mean, they're not home team, but why are they not favored against the Sam Ellinger team? That's my only hiccup.
Because everybody hates Washington.
But they won last week against the team that everyone knows.
I know.
Aaron Rodgers.
I was on them. I was on them then. I'm going to be on them again now.
I feel like this is too easy.
In this next game, our Sunday night game, I guarantee you, when the schedule-making man put this one together, he didn't think that the Bills were going to be 11-point home favorites in this game. 11-point home favorites. The total of 47.5. Packers are plus 400 on the money line. Bills are minus 500 on the money line. Goodness gracious, T. Ever been such a sure thing as the Bills win here on the money line? I don't know. I still – things are bad in Green Bay, and things are good in Buffalo. I don't like seeing 11 here on primetime. I just don't.
The over is an interesting play. I've seen a lot of, again, smart people, some smarter than me potentially, saying the over is a good play here at 47.5. I don't think that's a bad idea. Bill's offense seems to be able to do kind of whatever they want for the most part, and the Packers' defense has not been good. Since 2021, home favorites versus non-division opponents, so the Bills versus Packers fits that. The home favorites are 1-9 against the spread on Sunday Night Football. And Aaron Rodgers had made 234, 35 starts, consecutively without being a double-digit underdog. Packers, 10.5, 11.5 points. I'm going to take the Packers money line too with the small sprinkle.
Yeah, I think a little sprinkle on the money line. You
it's got to be plus 400 or 500, right? Like,
my goodness, it's like you've been possessed. It's like you've been possessed by a little devil over there.
Yes, the Bills are awesome and the Packers suck recently. So that's what everyone's. That's as simplified as it gets in some casuals' brains, right? But Aaron Rodgers getting 10.5 points, which he's never done before. Historically, these teams, this type of setup for the home team isn't as good as you think it is. Team that just got beat by a bad team against a team who had a – the Bills had a bye last week, if I'm not mistaken. Or did they play last week? They played the – it wasn't Chiefs last week. That was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. This to me is – you're getting free points with Aaron Rodgers, and I can't turn those down right now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You can't tell me you'd feel you look at yourself after the game. If you're gonna lose either bet, but I would feel better at saying I lost taking the Packers and a lot of points than taking the Bills and expecting them to cover two touchdowns,
or even taking the over. I feel better. You can't. You know, something bad is happening in Green Bay, but like it's not gonna. It won't. The season won't end that way. You know what I mean? Like. So this is just too much primetime game. The league will keep it. The Shield will keep it close.
Exactly. This is too much. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all you need to look at.
The Shield will keep it close.
You think they're going to let a Sunday Night Football game to the Bills and Packers, two of the one of the most popular teams now and one of the most popular teams of all time, go be a blowout? No.
And then finally, Halloween night, an Ohio throwdown.
Spookiest state in the union.
It is pretty spooky. I've celebrated Halloween in Ohio. It's horrible as you would think it would be.
A lot of orange and black on Halloween. You think that was done on purpose?
Yeah, sure. I hope that Ohioans don't all go out and do like pain pills and heroin at the same time that night. Like, you know, they're going to be very excited with their Bengals traveling to Cleveland to take on their Browns. Total on the game is 46. T, the Browns are getting 3.5 points at home. I like this Browns 3.5 here. I really do. I like getting that hook on the three. And at plus 155, I might do a little responsible sprinkling of a money line bet on the Browns in this one.
What's your thoughts? Spot on. I agree. The home underdogs this season are 8-3 against the spread versus a division opponent. And those games are also go under 9 out of 11 times. So generally, we can say that this game will realistically be pretty close. So the points are huge. The under is also an option. Since 2012, Monday Night Football home underdogs are 16-12 against the spread versus division opponents. So a little larger sample size. But that's specific to Monday night. So I think there's a lot pointing to the Browns being the right play here. Again, they lost last week. They played tough against the Ravens. Bengals had a cruise control game against Atlanta. I like the Browns at home. I don't think the Bengals are bad, but I think they have one or two more games to go before they finally hit their ultimate final form or stride, I'll say. I feel like they're working there. They're getting better, but I think this is still a Browns spot with the points.
Yep.
Right.
Same team, man. Same team on that one. See, that brings us through through the total rundown of all the week eight games. Again, probably didn't take the points as on as many. I think we're gonna see a little bit of a correction to that 62% number this week of the dogs winning these spread bets. But there's a few big fat ones hanging out there that I think that we caught all of. You know what I mean? Got a good hit on it. So, dude, that's all that I've got. Is there anything else that we didn't get to that you want to make sure that all the good overtakers out there get before Halloween?
Nope. Still in first place. Kiss my ass. Yada, yada, yada.
All bow down to your Thursday night king.
Yeah, I like the under a lot, and I like the Ravens first half. I'm probably going to also do that bet that you mentioned, which is first half, full half, side.
Yeah. First half, second half,
first half. Like in game, essentially a parlay. Yep. But Yeah, I took Lamar Jackson first touchdown score. Devin Duvernay, any touchdown score is still over plus 200, and he's the majority of the red zone target.
What's your first TD on Lamar?
900. Devin Duvernay is 236, I believe, and Mark Andrews is banged up, so Duvernay is the second highest red zone target on the team. I think he's going to get some scoring chances. And then I think I took something else that I forgot already. Lamar passing yards, 209. It's too easy.
I got the Ravens locked in on the spread. I think I got it at 1.5. Now it's grown to 2.
Look at this game really should go over if you look at the players on the field, but I don't think it does. Buccaneers secondary's banged up. Ravens isn't that good. Bucs still try to stretch it a lot, and it was there last week. Dropped pass by Mike Evans. Could be a lot of points scored. I do like the under, though, just historically this year, and I think Lamar will be able to capitalize on the Bucs secondary pretty good. So 209 as a total passing yard is extremely obtainable for me. I jumped on that.
I might put some kicker bets out right before kickoff. Just get crazy.
Yeah, Justin Tucker. Probably nailed 4 or 5.
I'm going to see that Justin Tucker over 1.5 kicker Google's line. Jump all over that. That's all I got, man.
All right.
I love these midday lunches we do.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best. Till next week, T.
Till next week. I'll text you about the Patriots looking up on your Jets.
Oh, yeah. That's coming. See you on Sunday. Bye.
In my cells, that's my celly. Made in the image of God, that's a selfie. Pray 5 times a day, so many felonies. Who gonna post my bail? Lord, help me. Hold up, Donda, I'm with your baby when I touch back road. Told him stop all of that red cap, we going home. Not me with all of these sins, casting stones. This might be the return of the throne. Throne, Hova, and Jesus, like Moses and Jesus. You're not in control of my thesis. You already know what I think by think pieces. For you actually already told you who you think he is. Don't try to gel my thoughts and think pre-sins. I can't be controlled with programming presets. Reset on my cell, in my cell at night. Don't have to see you to touch you. This is what Braille look like. It's on sight. If they take me to jail, call my girl, tell her, send my mail. We know what hell look like, still it's a hell of a life. Yikes. Guess who